Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast
with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. You got your drunk history up to 2000 Saints. Next month, Kevin is joining me again. We're going to do Tom Brady's 2000, that's when the Saints kicked the Patriots' ass in 2009, and the River City Relay in the same episode. It's phenomenal. I completely lose my shit. You donated, you got it. It's awesome. And also, a little tease, me and Andrew are working on something kind of awesome that may or may not come together for 2017 football season. We can't tell him, Andrew, but it's pretty big. It could come together and be quite phenomenal. So that's like
pretty cool. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I know it's a secret. We're dealing with famous Twitter peoples to line extra special something up. So we'll see how that goes. We'll keep you informed on that. Look, people, it's June. What's
Wang or get the fuck out?
Yeah, it's June.
Well, never mind.
Yeah, right. So it's the middle of June. So look, the Saints. This is what the Saints is. Is we do the pre-show like meeting. The Saints signed Ryan Nassib today. I kept calling him Ryan Nassib, and we decided that sounded like a terrorist, that I needed not to do that. So I'll try not to. But Andrew, I think we can't spend a whole podcast on that because that's just cruel. But like, does this mean that they don't like Mr. Fatty Daniel as the backup quarterback, or what does this mean?
I think it's another body in there that they can evaluate. Because Chase Daniel's on a one-year deal, because Breeze is on a one-year deal. And yeah, I think it means potentially that Chase Daniel doesn't 100% have the job. And I wonder if they saw something at OTAs and they were like, Chase isn't throwing the ball that great. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Nassib was Eli Manning's backup for a while. He came from Syracuse.
Yeah, I could be Eli's backup because Eli never gets hurt.
Well, so his career passer rating is 152.1. He's 9 for 10 in his career. I think what kind of did him in was he was horrific in the most recent preseason. So he's kind of been solid, promising young quarterback for a while behind Eli. And I think Giants fans in general think he was pretty good.
They said
then he had that god awful preseason.
They said no thanks and signed Geno Smith, man. That must have been a god awful preseason.
Is Geno Smith their backup now?
Yes. Geno Smith is their backup. So Dave, does this
I'm surprised Nassib got no interest on the market. Like the fact that he signed this late is surprising to me.
Dave, does this make you like 0.3% more interested in Saints third quarters of preseason games?
Because of Nassib? I mean, look, hey, last year I was interested because I wanted to see what's his face? Grayson. So I don't think it's going to make me more interested.
I forgot.
I'm always genuinely.
I forgot Grayson's on the team. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. I really did.
I think you guys agree Nassib is a bigger threat to Daniel than Grayson is, right?
I'm a bigger threat to Daniel than Grayson.
No, I've always enjoyed the late preseason games. And checking out some of the guys and some of the talent that you otherwise normally wouldn't see. I think this year is going to be the first year that I don't go to the preseason games. I think I'm going to try and sell my tickets.
Yeah, here's one thing about the preseason that that I think is completely unfair that the NFL look, if they're going to charge fans for season ticket holders for preseason game and just fuck you over, that's fine. But here's one thing I wish the NFL would do.
It should be $20 though.
Well, no, I mean, if they're going to charge, they're not going to take less money. So I'm not even going to argue that. But what I think they should do that's fair is every other year, they should make sure that you get the third preseason game, because that's the preseason game that's kind of interesting. They play the starters the longest, and I think it's like 3 years in a row the Saints haven't got the third preseason game at home. Because the fourth preseason game at home is just a middle finger to the fan base. Would we all agree on that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just think if every other year the NFL gave you the first and third, and then the second and the fourth, first and third, at least then you'd get a rotation and you'd be like, okay, this year we're getting fucked with the fourth preseason game. But then you'd know next year you're not. And I think that the NFL could easily do that schedule-wise, and at least that's something to make the preseason 5% less awful to season ticket holders. But Kevin is held up at the moment. I think he's changing out of his wrestling tights. So, I mean, that's pretty much
all. I think this year it's going to be more interesting to watch the quarterbacks in preseason because Breeze is on a one-year deal and there's a chance he won't be back. So we could possibly be looking at the Saints starter next year.
Oh, my God.
That's Daniel, awesome. Nassib, and Grayson, you know, I mean, I will be paying closer attention to how they play in preseason than I normally would.
I won't. I'll be drunk, and I'll be sad now that I'm thinking like Grayson's playing in a game that counts in 2018.
Oh, I think Grayson is fourth on the depth chart now.
I mean,
this could also be just Sean Payton doing Doug Marone a solid, because Nassib played at Syracuse, and I'm sure Nassib is panicking at this point because he's like, God, if I'm not in training camp with someone, if I can't at least put good preseason tape out there, I'm never going to play again. So this could be Sean Payton doing a solid to Marone.
But why would he, like, what, for what? Like, what was Marone going to give him? Like,
I mean, you know how it is, the good old boy network
maybe.
Of coaches. I don't maybe. Know. I'm just, maybe.
I mean, exactly. I think your first thing is that they looked at Chase Daniels and maybe they were like, ooh. They hadn't seen Chase Daniels in a bunch of years, and they thought, and they're like, oh, that's not the Chase we remember. He's horrible.
It's funny because it's kind of the Chase I remember. But
Chase Daniels has made, like, you know, and here's the thing, like, I don't want to get into the whole Colin Kaepernick not signing thing, but they had somebody, a respectable NFL reporter, whatever, said that Chase Daniel was a better backup than Colin Kaepernick. Chase Daniel has never played an NFL game that the team that he was playing for gave a shit about. Kansas City never played him in a game that mattered, that they had to win, it was important, and he started two games or three games, and you're going to tell me that he's better than Kaepernick. People just went at him. But I mean, Chase Daniel, I like him. He's fun, whatever. But I mean, do you have any proof that Chase Daniel can be a functioning, decent backup quarterback?
I mean, I don't think he's ever really played in the regular season, huh? I mean, even when he was with the Chiefs,
he played in, like, when they had
he got beat out, didn't he?
No, when they had games clinched, and you know, he started like a game when they already had it clinched, and he played started a game when they were eliminated.
Right. No, I mean, if we're being honest, I don't think we've actually ever seen anything stellar. I mean, it's not like he's what's his face, the guy from LSU that
he's thrown 70.
Matt Flynn. He's no Matt Flynn.
He's thrown 78 passes in his career.
Nice.
That's
and
it.
And he's made like $30 million, which is insane. So before
undrafted guy too.
Yeah, He was with Redskins, and then the Saints like poached him off their practice squad, right? And then he was the backup starting in 2010. All right, so that's pretty much all the Saints news, and we don't have any. We have a couple of Twitter questions we'll get to in a second. But one thing I did see that was interesting, and I thought of this as a fun question tonight. They have a Golden State fan that bought two floor seats to the Warriors-Cavs Game 5 tonight for $90,000.
I was going to say that must be cheap.
Each or
for the two
together.
Of them. For the two of them.
So 45 grand each.
45 grand each. And that basically covers courtside season tickets for the Warriors for a year when they go to the new arena. Like, that's how expensive their tickets are. It might only be one, but their tickets are freaking expensive. The floor tickets. So for $90,000. So my question to you is, how much money would it take for you to give up a Saints Super Bowl ticket or NFC Championship tickets? How much money would it take, Dave?
For my pair?
Yeah, for your pair of tickets.
If somebody was going to give me 45, 50 grand, I would definitely give that up. Honestly, if somebody... I probably wouldn't go lower than... I probably wouldn't go lower than like 20 grand.
That's what I was thinking. Wait, yeah. 10 a piece?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm thinking 15 a piece. Especially and
15 a piece, so 30 grand total?
Yeah, like 30 grand. And here's the thing, like at first I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'd do it for 5 or 10 grand each ticket." But then the more I think about it, as you guys answered, is like, say the Saints did it this year. And you know Breeze is 38, or they did it next year. In the next 2 years, you know Breeze is 38, 39. There's a really, really good chance that this is it. Like, from now to the end of your life.
I would do it for 10 grand a ticket.
Well, Dave and I both attended the NFC Championship.
I did too.
The senior year, and you, or the Super Bowl year. And then, but I didn't go to the Super Bowl, and Dave did. Yeah. So he's had that experience. For a Super Bowl ticket, I'm not sure I would give it up for anything, because I had an opportunity to go, and my wife was pregnant with my first kid at the time.
My wife.
So I decided not to, but in hindsight, like, it's funny. Back then, I was like, I'll go the next time they make. I was so naive, like, just thinking, oh, the Saints are so awesome. I'll just go to the next one.
No. Here's the thing. Like, I went to the Super Bowl, covered it for Channel 4, the post 9/11 one, and the security to get into the stadium was so intense, and it still is. I don't know that going to the Super Bowl, the actual game experience, appeals to me, but the NFC Championship was fucking unbelievable, because it's the dome, it's the Saints, it's our fans, it's a great experience. And man, now the more I think about it, like, if they would go this year, I think it would have to be 20 grand a ticket for me, because the thing is, I don't know that we'll ever see it. But the thing is, Dave, I don't know if that I'd ever see it again.
Okay, but you could have 40 grand. You could do, I mean, shit. How much did you have to pay to have a kid?
What can you really do with 40 grand, though?
I could. I'd be halfway toward remodeling my house.
Exactly. You'd be halfway there.
I mean,
well, right now I'm zero of the way there, so.
I could do 6 shots of fertility to have a second kid, if my wife was
my wife.
My wife, if she was up.
My wife.
No,
I mean, do you even want to do that though? Do you even want a second kid?
No, hell no. One is plenty enough. One is plenty enough for my.
It's like that's what I'm saying. What does 40 grand buy you? It gets you a car, a nice, like a ridiculous car. You could get a ridiculous car for 40. Grand. Is that better than seeing the Saints go to the Super Bowl?
Do you have to pay taxes on that?
No, you get the 40 grand. You get it in a briefcase like a drug deal, Dave. You know, no taxes, man.
Oh, and an unmarked bill?
An unmarked bill. It's tax.
Oh, that changes things.
You can keep it under your bed and use it for miscellaneous expenses if you so desire.
If it's wired to a bank account in the Caribbean, then I'm more.
I think it would take 20 grand a ticket, because, I mean, if Drew Brees gets to one more NFC title game, I don't know that I'll ever see it again in my lifetime with the Saints. And hell, man, by 2025, 2030, who knows what New Orleans and the economy and all that's going to be like. So the more I think about it, 20 grand is, it's got to be 20 grand, not a penny.
Yeah.
20, not a penny
the more I think about it, I think my number's even higher.
Yeah.
Just because I like, unless it's going to be a life changing thing, then I'd rather just, you know, you're going to talk about that experience for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Like, unless I was, like, at the time, like, I had, like, a mountain of debt, and it would really – but I don't, so I think I'm with
now,
you.
Now, if I was a Patriots fan, dude, I'd sell it for $10.
Dude, the Patriots over-under, I think, is 12.5, which is ridiculous for the year. You know – I guess now the topic that we thought about for this episode, and as we get to June and July before we get to training camp, the topics become difficult to come up with. But this is the one I came up that was Saints related for tonight. What Saints player, Andrew, do Saints fans hate that is most likely to rebound in 2017?
You know, I don't know that rebound is the right word, but Saints fans hate Brandon Coleman.
They do, for some reason.
Despise him. I've always liked him because, yeah, I mean, I think part of the problem is, I think it was Mickey Loomis that threw out that he's our next Marcus Colston.
Yeah.
Like, someone on that Saints staff or front office put that ridiculous amount of pressure and expectation on him. And I think the fan base has always expected him to be absurdly good because he's 6'6". But the reality is, he was an undrafted guy from Rutgers who made the team now 2 or 3 years in a row. He's got decent frame. He's a good number four receiver. He's a tremendous blocker. I've always appreciated the fact that he's made more out of his career than he should have as an undrafted guy. And, you know, I don't expect him to be the next Colston or even a 60 catch a year guy, but I like him as a role player.
Is he going to do better than 26 catches for 281 yards and 3 scores?
I'm going to say yes, he does that this year.
He's an interesting one. And this might sound like a backhanded compliment, but it's really not. For a guy that's undrafted, who struggles to catch the football, to still be in the NFL after 3 years and to carve out a niche is one hell of a thing. Because he really struggles catching the ball. And he plays receiver, which is bad. And yet, the dude blocks his ass off and does whatever the Saints want him to do. And look, I wouldn't want Brandon Coleman starting every week, but I wouldn't feel awful if the Saints had a week where they had a bunch of receivers injuries and you're like, Brandon Coleman's got to play this week. He's got to start. I wouldn't feel great about it, but I wouldn't be like, oh my God, they're fucked. I'd be like, maybe he can have a good game, you know? So that's an interesting choice. So, Dave, who is your Saints player that fans hate that's most likely to rebound in 2017?
Well, you know, I before we started the show, I didn't really know who was in the pool of players to select from as far as players that people hate.
Well, your boyfriend, you Mark Ingram, still kind of hates.
He's in there, but. There's no rebounding for him. I feel like he's had a pretty good season. You know, it's not like he's down. You mentioned Fleener, and I said, oh, yeah, people do hate Fleener. I hate Fleener. And to be honest with you, it's totally unfair because I don't hate – it's nothing that Fleener did. I hate Fleener because the Saints were stupid enough to pay him what they paid him. I have – from the very – day he was signed, I have always thought that contract was ridiculous and totally unnecessary.
He's making $7 million a year, and he feels more like a $4.5 million tight end.
Yeah, he does.
Well, but I mean, just even at the time, the market had not been set to pay that. I mean, they went way higher.
Not really,
than any
though.
Other
that's
tight
the
end was
that's the market for an average tight end. But you could argue that the Saints. No, that is. He's like the 16th highest paid for a 50
catch tight end. That's the market. It's like $7 million.
But you could argue that the Saints.
I don't think any team last offseason was going to pay nearly as much as the Saints did.
Ladarius Green got more than that, didn't he?
No, he got a little bit less. But The 49ers
and flamed out completely.
Yeah, no, I mean the argument, Dave, I don't think is that the contract was that they paid too much for an average tight end. I think the argument with Fleener is the Saints can turn any tight end into a 50 catch tight end. Miller and Eric Johnson and whoever the fuck, Ben Watson.
Wow.
You know,
well, so if you're Kobe Fleener and you haven't been transformed into a 50 catch tight end, then something is definitely wrong. So let's hope that, you know, my answer, Kobe Fleener, let's hope he's the guy that rebounds, that people love to hate, and so everybody can start loving him.
The Steelers gave Green 4 years, $20 million, and he got 18 catches for them, and then and then was released.
Yeah.
So.
It's not the argument that it's a ridiculous contract is not so. And I actually had a
contract. All contracts are ridiculous in this new CBA.
I was arguing with a 49er beat writer for some odd reason. They signed their tight end that had less catches. He had like 35, 38 catches, and they gave him like 4 years, like $27 million. And he's like, this contract is totally ridiculous. This proves they don't know what they're doing. And I'm like, dude, a 40 to 50 catch tight end makes $7 million a year. Like, that's the going rate. Like, you can argue they shouldn't sign this tight end or they shouldn't have, but that's the going rate. But I think Fleener, I feel like something with him last year was off in a sense of, I don't think he kind of grasped the offense, Andrew, and I think he could make a little bit of a – not that he's going to become Graham or anything, but I think he might be 15% better this year. Like, something was off with him. Like,
maybe.
I
just think at the end of the day, he doesn't get good separation, and he doesn't catch the ball in tight windows. You know, like, the thing about Watson, like, Watson – he would make tough catches. Like, if he had a guy draped all over him or it was a super tight window, Breeze trusted him. You know, I think with Fleener, like, after the first half of the season, Breeze was basically like, all right, Fleener, I'm not throwing you the ball anymore unless you're wide open.
Yeah, and the thing about Watson, too, and I know he was old and all that, but he was a top, I want to say, 18 pick. And, like, what he did with the Saints to get that contract for Baltimore, like, that's what the expectation of was him when he came out of college 100 years ago. They were like, Ben Watson, he can run really fast. He's going to be awesome. And he never quite was with the Patriots. He was always just, like, a really dependable, blocking, tough guy that never put up great stats, and he finally did it with the Saints. So Fleener's an interesting guy. I think he's going to be a little bit better. I'm hopeful. So they picked the two, though.
Dave, to give you context here, the 49ers guy is Vance McDonald. That's the tight end for the 49ers.
That's the guy I was talking about.
He's caught 64 passes in 4 years.
And what did
in 4 years for his career, he basically has done about what Fleener does in a season. And he his contract, hold on, I'm pulling it up. It was $36 million.
Oh my god, it was more than I thought. That's insane. That's insane. That contract, I take it back, Mr. San Francisco beat writer. I must have been drunk and tweeting at you later. That contract is insane. I take it all back.
I mean, it's less than Fleener, but I mean, that guy's insane.
That contract's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It makes the cut. Dave, it makes the cut. Don't you feel? I feel like 30% better about the Fleener contract now.
I feel slightly better. But what year was that?
He caught 24 passes last year.
That was this offseason. Or last.
Yeah.
It was like the end of last year. No, I mean, but then again, the 49ers did have like $100 million of cap room. They had to spend it on somebody.
And then again, the 49ers are the 49ers.
They are. Although they had a good draft this year, although. What's that guy?
Well, we don't know that.
Ruben
Foster. On paper, it looks like they had a good draft.
Ruben Foster, they drafted. He's got like shoulders of a.
The problem with free agency, though, is especially with these young guys like Fleener and Vance McDonald, who the 49ers just signed, is a lot of times you have to give them contracts that are based on how good you think they're going to be, not how good they've been.
Yeah, that's true, and that's the problem. But, I mean, I feel like teams don't think – and so now I have to pick my player fans hate that most likely to rebound in 2017, and I don't have a good choice because you guys took both of the choices. I'm gonna see I'm gonna say Andres Pete. Even though he wasn't terrible, I feel like fans kind of don't like him because he was picked really high, and he's meant to be a tackle, but he's kind of a guard now. So that means if you're just a okay guard and you were picked in the top 15, like, that's not good enough, right? I think this year, Andrew, he's going to be a guy that is going to he's going to slide up to not like Pro Bowl level, but like really good level and not be noticed so much as being terrible. And that means for a lineman that he's doing well. Like, we won't be ripping Pete so much this year, which will be a good sign. So he's my choice for bounce back Saint that fans hate. I couldn't go anywhere else because, like, corners, I don't feel like fans hate Bro or PJ Williams or any of that, you know?
I'm kind of surprised there's no corner on the roster right now that fans just despise.
Give it a month. Yeah. All right, so... before we get out of here,
Swan, maybe, because he's always injured. That's pretty annoying. Swan is starting to approach hatred.
Yeah. All right. We don't have too many Twitter questions, but let's see. Give me – this is from Mahmood. Andrew, give me one player whom, if the Saints sign, you could possibly say we are a Super Bowl contender. No injury. I guess any play – like what one player like that you could magically?
Yeah, I mean, if I could have any player, assuming no injury, I'd probably take Luke Kuechly. That would finally fix linebacker. A pass rusher would be great too. So.
Vaughn Miller. Yeah, Vaughn Miller. You could pair him opposite.
Yeah, either of those guys, but. Yeah, I don't know that realistically there's anyone right now that they can sign that's really going to help them much. So, I don't know. I still think the offseason was pretty good.
Yeah.
I just think they're playing right now for the Saints.
Yeah.
I still think the roster is well constructed. I just think, you know, this Unger thing's got to work out. Like, if they're saying that he's going to be back for week one, that needs to actually be the case. That's really worrisome.
Fairly needs some.
And obviously the Fairly thing is huge.
Yeah.
Fumbling before.
I just want to get – I'm not even asking for the Saints to be a playoff team. Could just one offseason we get from the draft to training camp where our hopes and dreams aren't crushed?
No, can I at least be delusional?
Can November be
into preseason?
No, just get me to the first preseason game where I've talked myself into it. Cavs or Warriors? Does anyone care? Either of you?
I've been watching in terms of rooting interest.
No, I mean, I guess who wins tonight? Cavs or Warriors? That's from
Bronx. Warriors. For
sure. Yeah. We didn't. The Saints are reportedly trying to trade Cadet.
What kind of trade value could that have?
People are like, we get a mid-round pick. I'm like, if mid-round pick, you mean a conditional seventh? Then yes.
I don't even think they're getting that. I think the one thing they could get for Cadet is maybe a player that has a huge contract. You know, like an Eric Decker, where basically it's like they'd be getting a way better player than Cadet, but they'd have to spend way more.
Yeah, but
no one wants that contract. Like, that's the only way I can see it.
Yeah. No, the Jets said they're going to cut Decker because no one wanted him. But that's an interesting question. Andrew, Decker, is he something the Saints should look at? Because Macklin went to Baltimore.
Absolutely. I don't think – it doesn't sound like the Saints were a team that was mentioned as being interested or that could be a landing spot for him. So I guess we'll wait and see. But, I mean, he's a tremendous receiver. I still think receivers kind of a sneaky need for this team. So I would absolutely be for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So, if Drew, this is from Obnoxious Who Dat, Dave, if Drew is Commander's Palace and Grayson is Olive Garden, what does newly acquired Nassib, what does newly acquired Nassib compare to?
Taco Tico.
This is a good question.
Taco Tico.
I am going. Was this question specifically asked to me?
No, it just came. I just gave it to you because it was food, and you know.
I want to. I guess I'd say like a corner, like a po' boy group place.
Danny and Clyde's.
Wait, what?
Danny and Clyde.
Yeah.
I don't know if Nassib is Danny and Clyde. I feel like that's...
You know, there's a few good things on the menu. You know, you might be able to find something that you like. But it's certainly not, nothing 4-star, 5-star. Like,
I was going to...
No table service.
And there's always a strong chance of diarrhea.
I would say it's Nassib is Taco Bell. It's like, yeah, if we have to, okay, fine. But in no way is that a choice you make.
Taco Tico. It's like, yeah, if that's it, that's fine. At least it's not Taco Bell. Tico on Veterans.
So.
I've seen it. I feel like I've seen it fairly recently, but
that place is an abomination.
Changing. I've never.
Abominate. So that about wraps it up for this show. I mean, there's nothing out there. But
good news. The fact that there's nothing for us to talk about.
No, it's good news. But I mean, there's nothing.
Urinating in their condo parking lots.
Nobody's passed out in their car, drunk, pulling a Joma. No, poor Nick.
He is claiming that they had a pizza that they had to get home quickly with.
No, I mean, but I have to say for the dead period for the Saints, this is pretty awful of a dead period. Even more so than last year. I mean, last year they lost. What did they lose? They lost Sanford, Kikaha, and Kyle Wilson. That was pretty bad. If they lose fairly, that makes last year a walk in the park. So, go to Saints Nation. Yeah, go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got all kinds of fun stuff. And go to Canal Street Chronicles. Dave will put up the podcast, and he'll have, I'm sure, his season preview column in January 2018.
Wait, who puts up the podcast, you or Dave?
Dave does. So Kevin's MIA on the wrestling practice. So for Dave.
Kevin's said he's talking to someone out of suicide.
Legitimately, apparently.
I don't think that's a joke.
Oh, great. We are just screwing off, and Kevin is actually doing good in the world. Good luck to Kevin. So, for Dave, for Kevin, who's doing very important things, seriously, and Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.